Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 153, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck Tucker Carlson, and fuck Fondant. It's Thursday, October 1st, 2020. Welcome to October, guys.
Yeah.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I can't see me loving O'Brien but Jack for Daily Zeit. That is courtesy of Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Mini pies, many pies. Besides TDZ, don't even care no more. They're all trash and we're coming for the first rate, the daily. All right, you hear 50, a.k.a. Ferrari. Thank you to Christy Yamaguchi, man, at Waffle House for that Many Men inspired, a.k.a.
Many Men.
That album, that did a lot of, it inspired a lot of bad behavior in young people in 2002. Get Rich or Die Trying.
I never got 50. Pity.
I mean, it's a fucking freestyle. The fuck you want for free?
Yeah. He had some all those jams, but I never, like, bought an album or listened to the songs that weren't actual singles.
Fair.
Yeah. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Irene Too.
Hey. I wish I had a song prepared now.
Hey.
Let's do one for you. What's your favorite karaoke song? Just sing your favorite karaoke song. That's what I say.
You know that Bright Eyes song?
Uh-huh.
That song. But I never know lyrics of any songs. You know, one where they have like two people sing it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, sure. What's that one?
Sure.
Sing it for me a little bit.
I literally can't. I cannot sing a song. Like, I can't. Unless the song's playing, I can't sing the song.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like one of those.
Yep. I'm my partner, Her Majesty, is also kind of the same way. She needs to find the pitch. Sometimes it's hard. Mm-hmm. Especially, man, what's that Sheryl Crow song? Strong Enough?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I've sometimes, seen Her Majesty perform that song.
It takes a little finesse, because when you go, strong enough to be my man, my man. Like, you got to really kind of know your intervals to hit that right, you know? But anyway, shout out
to everybody. I'd be remiss in not saying it's a whole vibe. When she performs that song.
This is a vibe-heavy show, actually. Yeah. We will get into one of the larger vibes, huh, later.
Oh, man. The vibes. Irene, how is quarantine treating you?
You know, ups and downs, right?
Uh-huh.
I was like with my family for a bit. That was good. And then it suddenly was like, I don't want to live at home.
Yeah.
Then I left. Now it's good again. And then, you know, this week has been bad.
Yeah.
Because yeah. of the world. Yeah.
Sure.
The world is bad.
We're up, we're down. We're bad. Up, we're down. Where did you go home to?
The Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long were you with the family before you're like, you know what? It's been nice, but I got to go back.
I like just got back. I think I was there for like 4 or 5 months.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So wow. I like stuck it out. Yeah.
Yeah. And was it a mixture of like regressing to childhood and like slash like what? Because I know people I've speaking to people who have gone home during the pandemic. Some people are like, no, I got to be fully independent. Or some people are like, no, I went back to 15 in there.
Well, the thing is, like, I never want to go back to 15. But when you're with your family, they just treat you like you're right. a child.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's almost like, impossible to. Yeah.
Yeah.
To
I'm
fight
like, I
want to
do my laundry.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow. Is that like out of a thing of like, I don't want you to be able to say that you did my laundry later, or are you just kind of like, you'll mess up my clothes because I know how you do. You just dry everything on the highest setting and shrink my shit.
I mean, both. Like, she right. definitely, it's always like, please don't dry all my shirts because then they right. shrink and then I can't wear them. And the other thing is just like, then she'll be like, yeah, I did all the laundry. I'm like, yeah, but I could have done it.
Sure, right. sure, sure. Yeah.
Like I can do these things.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful thing is like what your clothes smell like when they're washed, like at home, like they smell the same when you go home or like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. When I lived with another family for a little while in high school, like the clothes smelled totally different. And that just like completely, I don't know. So it's very powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's like animals, you know, like when right. the scent is off, like your own mother would be like,
yeah,
no, this is not.
Well,
mine.
Yeah. After I lived with that family and I came home, my mother, it was like a baby bird. My mother was like, you've been no. touched by others. Get out of my sight.
Jesus, they went heavy on the bounce sheets, huh? Over there. All right. I guess yeah. you're my kid.
European laundry smells different. That's me flexing. Weird flex, but
okay.
Yeah. She wouldn't feed me anymore from her mouth. It was
pre-masticated food. Yeah,
pre-masticated
that's a shame.
Food, which I had to learn to, you know, chew my own food. It wasn't great.
Yeah. And you right. came after Alicia Silverstone hard about that. And look who's a fool now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Irene, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. Unfortunately, we're going to keep talking about that debate. I think both sides did really well, as super producer Anna Jose said. I think they were both great. I mean, I think they both made some really good points,
yep.
and it was just a fun light watch. So we'll talk about how, like, the fallout from Trump refusing to denounce white supremacists among white supremacists. We'll see how they're dealing with that whole thing, both on Fox News and in Proud Boys, you know, Facebook groups. We'll talk about Biden raising almost $4 million just during the debate. Also, like the AOC-shaped hole that I felt in my heart watching the debate, or just like the Elizabeth Warren shape. Just like, I feel like for some reason I was just like yearning for one of the many candidates who can think on their feet during that debate. It was very it was like a
palpable. Then it wouldn't be an even match.
That's true.
You know, at least you got the two low energy Furbies duking it out.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about Bob Woodward and we'll do a little brain bleaching. Look at that the dude on the skateboard listening to Fleetwood Mac and drinking Ocean Spray. We'll talk about some conjoined twins in British Columbia who can see through each other's eyes and hear each other's thoughts. We'll talk about time travel, why it might be mathematically possible. All of that.
We need that. Literally right Ooh. Now, like, okay, we know he's talking about all this nasty shit that's happening in the world and the president, you know, going full chest out, embracing white supremacists. But you know what? Time travel, though. What if we can make that work out just in time?
But first, Irene, before we get to any of that, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, my latest search history was, what's the conversion rate for the Canadian dollar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And
what
this
a commercial
was before
for
the
Canada.
Debate.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's going to be, I feel like that could have maybe affected the exchange rate because people are just like, fuck, Canada is going to be strong.
You get $1.33 Canadian for one American dollar, looks like.
Yeah, it's going to flip.
Not bad. Yeah. The brain drain is going to be more like a brain tipping over the ball full of soup and it just spills everywhere because, yeah, if it could be bad. It could be
bad. You been lining up people who could possibly give you a sham marriage in Canada?
Me?
Yeah, anybody. I know I have.
No. I mean, man. I know some comedians that are Canadian, but.
Yeah, I mean, all the good ones typically are. So.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. Oh man, yeah. I you know, there's some nice Zeitgang people who have offered refuge to Her Majesty and I in the form of sham marriages. But well, you know, I think we'll see what goes down here. I think we might be able to tough this one out. But you know, thank you.
I
for
mean,
the offer.
Do they do polyamory? Because I think we all got to marry the same three comedians then.
Right. They maybe. I don't know. Yeah, let us know what's going on up there. But yeah, everyone constantly reaches out from like people I know from other countries, not just listeners who are like. It's how's it over there? Is it as bad as it seems? I'm like, here's the thing. Like if depending on how engaged you are, you could have always known it was this bad.
Right.
But now it's like the media and everyone's like, oh, now it's all out there and it's all happening in like three, you know, simultaneously that it's very hard to spin any of this into being like, yeah, don't worry. It's all number one. It's all good. It's all good.
That is the, I differ pretty drastically from anybody who was surprised by that debate. That's almost exactly what you would expect to happen based on everything. Just
yeah,
that we've seen if you've been paying attention.
Do you like Canada though?
Oh, sorry. It's okay, but it's 2020. Like, you expect something unexpected, right? You're like, maybe this will be the best debate ever.
Right, that's true. Ah. Yeah, when the expectations are so low, like that would be if the election just like went incredibly smoothly and Trump was like,
he's like, all right, you got me.
I've been bested by damn you, Democratic Party.
And I mean, that would be a 2020 move.
That would,
yeah,
be.
Right. And so I'm like, and like that's when all those memes are gonna come. Like, not gonna lie, man, I thought they had us in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
but it ended up working out somehow.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Something I think is overrated is just like needing to be right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been talking about this
like,
for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like what all our problems are. It's like everyone just has to like prove they're right. Like even when they realize like you're wrong about something, just like because you took one stance, you just have to have that stance forever. It's like you can change your mind.
Yeah.
Like that's fine.
It's, you know, ego's a hell of a fucking thing, you know, when it really is almost saying like, well, don't admit that we were wrong.
Yeah.
Just keep putting the pedal to the metal and make it worse for yourself.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do because I'm ego and I'm at the wheel. I don't care about your existence. I care about how we are viewed. Yeah, it's really it's especially, you know, constantly. I think this is one of the one thing we've heard a lot of guests talk about is like this, like being wrong is OK. It's not an issue. It's part of being.
It's not like it's about growth. It's not like you're a wrong person. You're like, oh, I learned more information and I changed my mind.
Yes. Yeah.
Changing your mind about things, having complex opinions about different people, that they can be right about some things and wrong about others like that.
I think I wasn't able to do that until I was like 27.
Yeah. I mean,
to be honest, like fully not do the thing where like low key, I would take the L in private and then like just stop talking about it, which is like you're on your way there where you like you get owned in like some kind of debate and you're like, all right, then we'll see. I'm gonna go look at some stuff. And then you like cry in your Honda and then you're like, OK, maybe you had some points. But now I'm at a point where you're like, oh, for real? Huh? Huh? OK.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And I will just confirm that you were correct. Thank you. And now you have fed my mind. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's a jump to get to that point, I guess, for some people.
Yeah. I think everybody just needs to read a couple self-help books.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They've been kind of embraced by a certain type of community that we have. Like, yeah, I think self-help and just the idea of like focusing on like spiritual things, even if it's not like a religious thing, has been relegated to just being like this bullshitty thing.
And like, yeah, Marianne Williamson, big orb energy right. type shit. But really, right. like, I mean, you know, I think a good, I tried reading like Alan Watts, like at 19. I was swinging on pitches that were a little too fast for me intellectually at that time. Now it makes much more sense. But, you know, Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now is like, I always use that as a gateway book for like bros of mine who are like, I don't know, like shit could be different, right? And I'm like, why don't you read this book a little bit and think about being present a little more and not worry about the past or future or how it makes you look, sir. And they're like, yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. So, yeah. You know, check that one out if you got time.
But I didn't even want to admit that Die Hard 4 was a bad movie.
Because I
liked
that, yeah.
Die Hard so much. That was like pretty late. I forget what year that came out, but I was like,
yeah.
You know, even that I was trying, I didn't want to admit I was wrong about
it. And it was a whole
Bruce
thing.
Willis.
You got pepper sprayed at that Best Buy and everything.
Yeah, no, yeah. I was willing to die for live free or die for this movie. still kind of like that movie. Irene, what is something that you think is underrated?
Underrated, competence, just being competent
okay.
in general.
What inspired yeah. that?
You know, nothing.
Definitely
about
not this podcast.
Definitely not the debate.
Definitely not the debate. What do you guys think about Chris Wallace? Because I heard a lot of people saying like that was the worst, like moderation. I don't know that like there was, I don't know what a competent person was supposed to do when, with regards to the interrupting, right? Like if you can't cut the mic, yeah. what are you supposed to do?
Unless I don't know, he could have been like angry dad on the yeah. road trip with the kids fighting in the back and being like, I'll pull this fucking car over right now. I don't give a fuck whose birthday.
Yeah, I
it
think
is.
He should have been more strict and stern and angry about it.
Yeah, just gotten angry.
Been like, you know what? If you guys don't stop doing this debate, the debate's over. Like, we're just right. gonna
pull
end
the car
it.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to end it and then talk about how you guys are being dumb for the last hour.
It was pretty wild that like just how transparent the kid who like arguing child in the backseat of the car energy was when Trump was like, well, him too, right? Like,
yeah.
When he told
it wasn't me that was just bad boy, he was bad boy too.
Yeah. Just, wait, tell him
what the heck, I have to go to yellow light, he should go to yellow light too. That's not fair. Yo. Oh, this is bullshit, Mr. Wallace. What'd you say? Nothing. I'm sorry. But he should also be yellow light. If I have to go to yellow light, he should also have to go to yellow light.
What about
I
that?
Have to go to red light? No. Yeah. It was, yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, I guess the one thing I didn't like was when it was clear that him and Biden were like vibing together about how out of control the president was being. I'm like, have some air of like impartiality a little bit.
Because right.
like, yeah, I don't know either, Vice President Biden. I mean, this guy, yeah, I guess he is, huh? You know, sure. It gives, because I know the on the right, they are all just mad at Chris Wallace. So on the left, people are blaming him because these two old men don't know how to behave. And then on the right, they're like, oh, he was against the president by asking him direct questions about things pertaining to his life and presidency.
Yeah.
It also just sounded like he would be like begging Trump to like stop talking. He'd be like, oh, no, you're going to love this next question.
Yeah.
Like, that was so wild. He's like,
he said that like multiple times. Yeah. He's like, no, this one you're going to love. Like,
yeah.
What?
It's like a open mic comedian bombing. Like, how about this next one? This
yeah,
next
you're
one.
Gonna you're gonna love this one.
You're gonna love this.
No,
one.
I swear, this one really though. You guys, don't give me the light. You're gonna love this, Mr. Yeah. President.
That or you're feeding a baby vegetables, and you're like, oh, you're gonna like this one.
Yeah,
here, here comes the plane. You're
so
gonna
this
love
next
this
question's
bite.
A plane. Open up the
okay.
tunnel. It's gonna fly.
Don't spit it out. Don't just choo. Yep, choo. Here comes the train.
Oh man, this shit works really well. Too, by the way, the train stuff.
Oh, the plane, the train,
the plane,
whatever.
The train,
transport. Get yeah. the calories into me mouth. You know
comes
what I mean?
Comes around the bend, going through tunnels.
You know what?
You can do all sorts of creative stuff.
Do you remember being fed like that pretty vividly? And I don't. I have a vivid memory of it, and I'm curious if maybe I was doing that shit too late into life, that I have these really strong memories of that shit.
I don't think I ever did that.
Oh, never man. Got a plane coming in?
Don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about when I say it works. It gets me to
on
eat
you,
stuff
yeah.
really. Yeah, like it makes food more
sprout.
Delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. I actually don't remember that. Remember eating that. I remember there was like a spoon that my older sister and I would fight over because it had a bee on it. And like that, when you got the bee spoon, that was like the ring of power. And like
oh,
that,
shit. Okay.
That made food more delicious. That's something that I've tried to replicate and haven't been able to succeed with.
You know what they should have done for the debates is use a talking stick.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not holding the talking stick, you can't talk.
Or like the conch in like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, they're going to have to cut mics. Am I making it up that they did that at one time where they like he couldn't talk over people? Was that like maybe during a Clinton debate or one of the original Republican debates? I feel like I remember mics being turned off during a debate, but maybe
yeah,
that was just.
I do know that the council for presidential debates is they're like, okay, we're going to take another look at how we're running that thing because
yeah.
you can't just have people just straight screaming over the other one when they're like bringing up their ineptitude over something like a pandemic or, you know, take your pick on whatever issue is plaguing us.
Right. Finally, Irene, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false or vice versa?
All right. So this was inspired by a conversation I had with my friend that completely unrelated to anything we've talked about so far. The myth that milk is bad for you.
Okay.
Mm. I don't think it's true. I drink milk every day. I like never get acne. So...
Anecdotally, myth busted.
Yeah, busted. That's yeah. Those are the facts.
You drink milk every day?
Every day.
Damn. What kind of milk?
Whole milk
oh,
with like
fuck
the cream,
yeah.
cream top. Cream top.
Wait,
what's
what?
Cream? Like you do a half floater?
No, on top? It comes. It's like whole milk, but it comes with the cream on the top of it. Yeah,
oh,
so it basically is like half and half.
Where are you
Yo,
picking that up?
Where you
just
buy
like
that?
Straight out of a. A bucket on a farm?
No, it's like they have it at Whole Foods and like
oh,
Sprouts.
The cream
yeah.
top?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's like that the sounds... Strauss. It comes in a glass bottle.
Oh, Strauss Family Creamery.
Yeah.
You know, because I like fatty ass milk.
That's what
like,
I'm saying. It's
that's
great.
That's the fucking, I mean, because it like in Japan, the milk, the fat content over there is so much. So as a kid, I grew up drinking like, I feel like what tasted like half and half. And now like, and then I would come to like get my school lunch and it'd be like 2%. And I'm like, what the fuck is this watered down horseshit?
Just spitting milk across
the
lunchroom.
Well, to the point where like, I hated even like the low fat milk that I would just get the 2% cause it was closer to water and I would just pound them shits like it was water. Anyway, all that to say is, okay, I got my eye on this cream top now.
It's
but
good. You
got
to get it. It's good. Yeah. I drink it every day.
How'd you develop the habit? Like, you know, now
I always drank milk when I was a kid. And, you know, when you're in school, every kid drinks milk. That's what they give you for lunch.
Right.
So I would just drink those. And those were always like kind of gross. They're like carton milk. It tastes like
yeah.
cardboard and it's 2% milk. So it's a little, you know, watery. But at home, we would just buy whole milk, which is actually only like 3% milk fat. It's like not even that much more.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I liked that. And I just always have liked, you know, like a heavier, creamier milk. So then, like a few years ago, I think my mom maybe found it or I found it, but we found this milk that has like the cream top on it, and now I just get that.
Yeah, I'm loving that. Yeah, because I think I drink around. I'll drink 3.8% fat or even 4.2.
Wait, where do you find that though?
That's in Japan. Like they have the shit
oh, really?
On the carton, bro. Like it's just like 3.8, 4.0, 4.2. Oh,
you want to
fuck your heart up? I mean, go ahead. We got it. But when you drink that, have that with cereal.
Oh, that sounds good.
I grew up eating cereal with skim milk. We were like a big cereal family.
That's why would you even drink milk if you're going to drink skim milk?
I know. It's so bad now. Like, going back to that, it sucks. It's like, why didn't we just fucking pour water on it?
Yeah, it's just weird-looking water.
Yeah, it's like gray-blue water. Why are we doing this? Why did you do this to me?
Oh, man. Yeah,
but yeah, you don't know what cereal is supposed to be if you've been eating skim milk. And that is what it has as, like, on the nutritional information. They're like, yeah, if you just put a cup of skim milk in here, it's like, why would I do that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just tell me what it would be like if I just poured the cereal down the fucking garbage disposal?
I remember one time a babysitter was like watching me for like a weekend or something, and we had to go to the grocery store. I was like maybe 5 or 6. And like, they're like, oh, what cereal do you like? I was like, this one's like, what milk do you get? And I was like, oh shit. All right, here we go. Maybe I'll go half a half or something and just say that's what I put on my cereal. And because I would always drink the little mini creamers at restaurants, and my mom would be like, yo, you fucking around, embarrassing my ass, looking like an idiot taking shots at the table like that. You used to call them Barbie milks. Anyway, so at the grocery store, I remember seeing buttermilk for the first time, and in my mind, I go, oh, that's the one, right? This buttermilk? Yes, yeah, please. That has to be, yeah. It was not right, and I completely regretted it. I didn't know, and then the person who was, like, babysitting me also didn't know what it was. Like, are you sure this is what you would put on them? Like, yeah, that's what we do, that's what I drink.
Is it salted, like buttermilk?
I think it's, like, way more cream, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, okay, it's just absolutely...
It's, like, not supposed to be drinkable.
You don't really
you, like, cook with it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be drinking that shit. Cuz like people like make it on their own like to cook with. And it was such a I had to do one of those things where you take the L, like, just power through it, cuz I couldn't admit I was wrong.
So, yeah, that was the ego. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. When you're 5, that's the ego again. Couldn't admit. I'm like, "Hey, you know what? You were right. This is not the milk that I normally drink. You were right. This is something strange." But I was like, "No, this is sour, but it's good and thick. It's like yogurt."
So I married a woman who is lactose intolerant. We have lactaid. I have lactaid in like all my pockets. We have lactaid just laying around the house. But like, there's something about milk. Definitely, like, I'm more sensitive to what it does to my body. Like, I think I'm like at least like partially lactose intolerant. Or maybe it's like when you gain sympathy weight or something, and I'm just sympathetically lactose intolerant, but sometimes it hurts. Ugh. You don't get that at all, Irene?
I really don't.
Yeah. Good.
Nope.
I
power up.
It makes it truly though. I do power up. I'm like, I gotta drink my 2 glasses of milk and I'm ready to go.
Two glasses. Wow.
It's funny for me being like Black and Asian, I feel like there at some point milk or dairy would do something to me but I don't know. We're just some cheese eating, milk drinking fools on this side.
I mean, different food does different things to different people. Like,
I think shrimp makes me fart though. Oh, what were you talking about?
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back. And people are still kind of working their way through the debate fallout, including the Proud Boys, who had a big moment, you know. Yeah. Biden threw it out there. Wallace asked Trump to denounce white supremacists. He was like, give me a name.
And go ahead,
Biden
anyone.
Said, the Proud Boys. And he was like, well, not. Surely not the Proud Boys.
Surely not those white supremacists. Yeah. Name another group that isn't a white supremacist group.
Right.
How about the Southern Poverty Law Center? I'm totally against them. So I denounce them. But not actual white supremacists. It was a big, like, the web boards of the Proud Boys were alight after that, basically saying, like, dude, we got a fucking shout out on the fucking presidential debate. Which is, yeah. Frightening. They're just a neo-fascist group where all they do, I mean, Robert Evans has been attacked by Proud Boys when he's covering shit in Portland. Like, this isn't just like some dudes wearing Fred Perry polo shirts and like just trying to talk shit. Like, they're, you know, they're straight up neo-fascist group. And that it seemed to be the one thing where everyone, like the entire country, just forehead slapped, even though like most people were like, yeah, of course. Like, I'm not surprised that he couldn't do that. He's made it clear that the president himself is a white supremacist. So, like, I was sort of like, yep, there he goes. He can't do that. He's going to struggle with it. And he just lets everybody else be like, no, that's not how he feels.
Wallace asked him to tell them to stand down, and he instead told them to stand by and stand back. So, slight difference.
I was like, if that was a Freudian slip, which it wasn't, worst Freudian slip in history.
Right. Yeah. And also, Freudian slips are people saying the thing that their unconscious brain is telling them to say.
So that also is true.
But yeah, like, it's either he secretly wants that or openly wants that. And he's also not coming out and being like, I misspoke. He's coming out and not saying shit, even though Republicans are like, please correct yourself.
Especially fucking Tim Scott, the one black senator. They're asking him straight up. They're like, so what'd you think about that? And he's like, oh man, you know, he must have misspoke. But he needs a chance to clean that up. Because if he doesn't, then I guess he didn't misspeak.
yeah, that was
true.
Right.
That's interesting way to walk us through that exercise.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Do you make of it as the black senator of the one black Republican senator who they constantly use as a token and just dismiss all their vile behavior? Be like, well, you know, Tim Scott is helping us work on police reform, so we have this thing under control. And now he's just, you know, having to be like, that dude's just like, I don't know, man. What do you want me to say? Like, yeah, I know he's racist, but I've kind of already picked the side here. So gonna have to just pretend I don't know till we know for sure out of his mouth again.
And then just overall, you know, combined with telling his followers, who apparently are Proud Boys, a militant white supremacist organization, to go to the polls to monitor people's voting, which is like voter suppression, voter intimidation, and then refusing to commit to telling his followers to maintain peace as the election results are counted, because he thinks there's going to be, you know, irregularities, and then the irregularities that he was pulling. Like, it just seems like the only things he pays attention to are conspiracy websites and, you know.
Losing.
Yes, and his own Twitter, like, response mentions, probably.
I mean, his whole focus is just to, he doesn't have the skill or the support to actually win the election, it seems, aside right. from, you know, outright fuckery, which they're fully engaged in. So now that's like more of the focus. It's like, yeah, I don't know. The debate could have gone to shit. But as long as I'm like, you know, invalidating a ton of fucking votes for Biden, maybe that's how it works. And not because I'm actually telling people to vote for me. It's because I completely just swindle the whole thing. So yeah. The White House tried, though, to clean up some of the comments. Hogan Gidley came out and he was like, okay. They asked, yeah,
Hogan Gidley.
I wish it was Giggly.
Real name.
Get the fuck out of here, Hogan Gidley.
That sounds like a Harry Potter character.
I know.
Right? Yeah.
It really does.
So, yeah, he came out and he was just basically saying, like, oh, you know, they're like, well, what about this thing with Trump being a white supremacist? Spoiler alert for everyone, in case you didn't know, Trump is a white supremacist. But
yes,
Hogan Gidley just comes up with this typical thing where he's like, of course he's against it. What he meant to say was blah, 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 blah. Peter Navarro at one point tried to blame Chris Wallace for him talking like that and be like, well, it was just a bad look for everybody involved. And you could tell immediately, too, because every like senator was like, he should have fucking disavowed that immediately. It doesn't make sense how he fucked that up. That's like the easiest fucking thing. We're not even in a, you know, like even like establishment Republicans are like, we don't do the outright racism shit anymore. Like we even learned from the 60s and 70s, like we got to use like deracialized language to get our racism across. When someone asks you point blank, if racism bad, you have to say yes.
Yes, our policies are racist in their effects, but we don't. Our words that we use to form those policies are not openly racist, bro.
Yeah.
Even Fox, which, you know, Fox moderated the debate, and then you know, as they were responding to it, there are some people who are like, Trump came in with a command performance and just dominated. But for the most part, a lot of Fox analysts were just a little bit more circumspect and realistic. Like Brian Kilmeade, Steve Doocy seemed just like bummed about it. They were like,
Steve Doocy had like this whole thing where he's like, you know, it's like going to your favorite restaurant and, you know, you're ready to have a really nice meal. And then it comes and it's just and the anticipation. It's like, that was just okay. Like just likening it to like, I don't know what he thought this was going to be. Like, he just thought Trump was going to fucking like literally eat Joe Biden up there. And it's like, that's exactly the leadership I'm talking about. We need a cannibal in chief.
Yeah. I mean, as we always talk about the Trump administration and all his talking points are just, you know, whatever he's guilty of, he accuses the other side of doing. He seemed pretty, let's say, keyed up, and he had also been accusing the Biden campaign of using Adderall to prepare for the debate. So that's just one thing I would put out there. I don't know how like in control of his own faculties Trump was going up there.
He was sweating.
He was just he was sweating. He was interrupting. It was like he couldn't stop himself.
I do want to play this clip, though, from Brian Kilmeade, because he you know, the president was watching Fox and Friends immediately. Yeah. That's all he does is watch Fox. So
they know
they're talking to him. Anyone on Fox knows that's when you talk to the president or you audition to get into the cabinet by completely, you know, ignoring how bad the performance was. You could tell there were some people the morning after who were like, it was unbelievably good. And you're like, fool, it's too late. You don't want to be part of this. Anyway, so this is Brian Kilmeade basically saying, like, he fucked up the biggest layup in the history of debates.
But Donald Trump blew the biggest layup in the history of debates by saying, not condemning white supremacists. I don't know if he didn't hear it, but he's got to clarify that right away. That's like, are you against evil? Why the president didn't just knock that out of the park, I'm not sure.
Maybe he just didn't hear it.
Maybe he just didn't hear it.
Dude, the fact that even on Fox and Friends, they're trying to even put that as like, yo, are you against evil, man? Like, even on Fox and Friends, they're like, you can't just openly embrace white supremacy like that. We can't go that far back. You know, like it's interesting to even see them, even though they're engaged in it and would love to give all kinds of disingenuous arguments against equality and things like that, that at that point, they're like, you know, in public, we have to say racism bad, right? It just doesn't work like that. You blew that, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more surprised that they are that disconnected from like the implications of their own beliefs, that that is like what that he gets how bad that was. But that's Ari, great.
Ari Fleischer, former White House press secretary to Bush, he even brought out a fucking whiteboard to give a lesson to the president directly on air. Obviously, not like he was saying it, but they're like, hey, Ari, you got a whiteboard there for some tips for the, you know, what the president could possibly do to in the next debate. I'm just going to play the beginning of it because it's so patronizing, but it also shows you how these people are like, I don't know what the fuck else we could do. Like,
I don't know.
He needs
what we
to know that was
guy.
An utter fuck up. But listen to Ari Fleischer really put on his like teacher cap here.
Looky there.
Here's my advice for the president on the next debate. One, interrupt less. It's perfectly fine at key moments to jump in. Don't do it all the time. Two, let Biden flail around. The president actually saved Biden on several instances. When he said to Joe Biden, you won't take a stand on packing the court. You won't take a stand on the filibuster. He should have then gone silent and showed America Biden isn't taking a stand. Trump is right. But instead, he interrupted again and said, where's your list? Where's your list? He didn't let Biden flail. Let the man flail. It'll happen. And three, sum it up. Let Biden go through two or three of these episodes where he doesn't answer.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Do you like any of those points? What do we think, Irene? Did you of those, or maybe you have some advice for the president?
I mean, I'm not trying to help the man. So yeah. I'm like, hey, just do what you did again.
Keep that up, bro.
Yeah. You're doing great, bro.
I also don't think those things would necessarily work. Like, I don't think those were the problems. Like, dude, I think that
also for Trump him. Would have to have some. He would have to be someone who actively listens and is. He's not a fucking improviser,
right?
You know what
right.
I mean? Where you could go into and be like, right, okay, I'm gonna wait for those pockets. I'm gonna let him flail. Then I'm gonna sum it up, and then I'm not gonna enter. Like, he doesn't, dude. Unless he has some kind of like electrode attached to his like fucking leg that's like shocking him, like shut the fuck up. I don't know if he will ever be able to have that kind of self control, or he like I don't know, you know, it was what it was because he is who he is, as Joe Biden said.
Yeah, he had a couple pretty good lines, and Biden had like a record setting run of contributions. He almost raised $4 million in the last hour of the debate. So we see who was energized by the president's performance. God.
Just everyone's just at home panicking like, oh, we got to donate now.
Right now. I don't know. Oh, God. Will this money give Joe Biden more energy directly right now if I send the cash in, please?
Yeah, if I inject the money, will he talk louder?
And as you guys see, I have a whiteboard here that I've drawn up some recommendations for Joe Biden on. Uh-huh. One of them
flail
being,
more.
So they need to just get somebody to, like, when they're doing the debate prep, just interrupt him constantly and shout, like, just wild shit at him, because he still gets distracted and will stop and be like, I just.
Yeah, he did a lot of.
It's like, that doesn't work. That is not good TV. Smiling at him like while he's being a fascist and a racist is not cute. Like, people don't like that. Like, it's not helping anyone. And just every single time Biden says, and by the way, everything that comes after that is it's just terrible. It's always boring. It's always some boring specific where you can like feel him getting stressed out as he tries to like land the sentence. And it's just like, yo, if you find yourself saying, by the way, just go, just shut the fuck up and just go back to the previous thing you were saying or move on. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. There was just like, I felt an Elizabeth Warren / AOC / you know, any Bernie Sanders, people who have the, you know, courage of their convictions shaped whole in the debate, because there was just, I don't know, they like this and like even Hillary, like people who are playing the game, like it's just I'm tired of seeing.
Well,
that.
Just because we've seen fucking two generations worth of the same kind of discourse, and it's like It's like we're watching commercials from the 70s, but we're millennials and we're like, bro, this commercial is whack as fuck and it's so insincere and I'm not going to smoke Newports now because of this. No.
I mean, I am, but that's...
Yeah, but that's, you know, but that's your choice.
That's the difference between you and me.
And that's how you get down. Because I'm more of a Benson and Hedges 100s type of cat. but like... But that's what you're talking about. Is like with like these other politicians, the reason they're more refreshing is because like they've abandoned this like wonk speak political sort of like rhetoric of threading the needle and not upsetting people and just getting to be like, yo, okay, so you're broke because of this. Okay, that's what the fuck is going on right now.
Right.
The reason you don't have health care is because right now the whole system has been hijacked by the insurance industry and pharmaceutical company. Like, but. It's everything. When you don't have that, it just gets lost into this like angry screaming match up there. And also, like, I would love, you know, NeNe Leakes from like Real Housewives of Atlanta was like, get me on that Joe Biden prep debate team because he needs a lesson on how to read people. I couldn't imagine if Joe Biden even had just one preloaded clapback that he could use. But at the end of the day, like, it's just spectacle as we watch the country suffer, like, in real terms. And it's weird, like, to even get, like, sort of worked up, like, oh, he could have pwned him up there. But it's like, oh, man, how about, like, some fucking financial relief? Some financial fucking assistance right now? Why aren't we fucking talking about that?
I don't think we learned anything.
No.
It's these very straightforward things where he has truth and the, you know, majority of Americans on his side, but there's like this like short circuit where you know, the mainstream Democratic Party feels like you need to, you know, split the difference and be in the middle, but like, he, you know, most people in the country agree that climate change is bad and is caused by, you know, fossil fuels, like, but he felt like he had to equivocate and run away from that. There's like so many different things where he, yeah, relief, like giving people help, like there's just like so many different things. I mean, even down to the like Herman Cain thing was like, so like, Trump was like, nobody's ever been hurt by like going to my rallies. It's like, dude, what?
Did you see that Josiah Johnson tweet?
What? No.
When it said Trump, ain't nobody died at my rallies. And it said Herman Cain. And it was that gif from the rap battle where the dude was like, ooh.
Right.
Like, okay, motherfucker, like, really?
It's, yeah, just the, I don't know, the equivocating, the like trying to calculate when all you need to do is just tell the truth is somewhat frustrating.
Yeah.
But hey, looking forward to the next two, right?
Yeah.
Whatever those end up being, or if there's rules or whatever, I don't know. It's just such a mess.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back, and we want to check in with the Fleetwood Mac skateboarder guy who, that is the definition of a whole vibe. That dude is just feeling, there is just a palpable good energy, surrounding that dude in that video.
This clip is of this guy, Nathan Apodaca, but it was like at Dogface 208. Double G, D-O-double G. Okay, respect it. Apparently, he's in Idaho Falls. And if you haven't seen this video, I'll just try and describe it, but you must look at it yourself. This dude, he's on a skateboard. He's vibing. Like, he's not having to do much kicking because he must be on some kind of decline. And he's just got a full-ass bottle of, like, Ocean Spray Cran Razz, leisurely sipping and grooving. And it has this feeling of like freedom and carefreeness that I think is, for whatever reason, I think resonated with so many people simultaneously, because it looked like someone completely untethered from like the chaos of what the political state is, the economic woes of this country, everything else, and just sort of like, yeah, man, I'm just gliding, I'm having a little juice, and I'm listening to some good tunes, and that's enough to kind of raise you up a little bit. And yeah, so it was no, you know, secret or no surprise when this video just became like the fucking all people could fucking talk about over the weekend.
So he is, first of all, as somebody who has lived in Los Angeles for almost a decade now, just watching him leisurely ride a skateboard on like in what would be like stopped traffic in Los Angeles stressed me out. So that's where I'm at, is this video even managed to stress me out. But
he was in Idaho Falls, man. He wasn't in LA. So it's okay. The roads are more forgiving over there for skating.
But he's gotten some financial assistance from people.
Yeah. Apparently he was living in an RV, like in front of his brother's house. And he, you know, like he, got all this, a lot of donations through like Cash App and PayPal, Venmo, etc. And now he got like around $10,000, and he's just like super grateful because he's like, I need a car. He's like, the reason he was saying the video went viral is because like he had a shift at like the potato factory or something. He has a very interesting life, and his car was broke down, so he's like on a skateboard more. This whole thing, and so he's giving like $5,000 to his mom. It's like half heartwarming and then half sad, like anything where you're like, this person got, you know, people crowdfunded their way into like a better situation. But at the end of the day, like, you know, if I just very narrowly keep it about the skateboarding freedom, and, you know, Ocean Spray needs to give him some kind of deal.
Oh, like, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are like buying cranberry juice again.
Oh, you know,
I was into it. I was like, yo, I haven't had cranberry juice in a while.
I know. I think about, and Cran Razz is that one that's good, because juice was like, it's too tart. Or you get the cocktail and it's a little bit sweeter, but Cran Razz was always an easier sip.
Cran Apple. I like Cran Apple.
Oh, okay.
Put them in a commercial.
Or White Cranberry Peach. That one was a vibe for a little bit in the early aughts. I remember, you have that with a little, you know, Sprite and vodka. You know what I mean? That was used to be my turnip juice that was just all sugar, and I would get sick immediately.
This did make me wonder if there was any vodka in that, because of how good he was feeling on this thing. I was like, that would be me if there was vodka in that thing. Like, how I would be feeling. Either way, Ocean Spray needs to reach out to this man.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how I can get this same vibe, like, safely. You know, like, just do I put a fan in my face to have a fake breeze? Because I don't trust myself on a skateboard getting fucked up.
You have skater vibes, though.
I mean, I can ride a skateboard, but, if I'm like, if I'm doing my version, I'm probably drinking and smoking at the same time. So yeah. I want to do it like in a very safe place where I can glide and not be a danger to myself or others. Or, you know, maybe, maybe get somebody pulls me like in a red wagon.
Well, that'd be fine.
You know what I mean? Just hook it up. Like, yo, it's like, yo, pull me, bro. Ooh.
I think the theme of this episode is we're all reverting back to being like toddlers.
Well, I think the other thing is just about the whole pandemic things, like where I find myself like simplifying a lot of like my own needs too, because there's not a lot of ways to get what you want or need right now in the middle of all this. And like seeing videos like this, I'm like, that's right, man. Like it's all just about some wind in your face, a little cranberry juice and getting free. It's not like, that's all I need. I need to hop on a flight, go to Switzerland, fucking eat that chocolate, and then throw a gold bar off a mountain on a fucking unsuspecting tour bus or whatever you do out in Switzerland. But I think, there's this, I don't know, like to see this, I'm like, maybe we can reconnect as a people to know that this is like the peak of like our existence. It's just a feeling free with a little juice, a little beverage, alcoholic or not, other whatever it is, water, do whatever you got to do, and good music.
I feel like I've seen a lot of people in quarantine like learning how to skateboard, you know.
Oh, you got just a lot like, of upright aspiring skaters.
Not like, I don't think like people are trying to be like skaters, but just like, yeah, this is a thing that I always wanted to do, and you know, I think it'll be fun and brings me joy, you know.
100%. Oh, bless him. Bless Nathan Apodaca. And all his, like, he's got a ton of followers on TikTok. He does a lot of content with his nieces and nephews, I think. So you love to see it. You love to see it.
Let's talk about some science. We got two science stories. One that blew my mind. So there are conjoined twins in British Columbia who, I think they're like 12 or so, but they are like this very particular type of they share a thalamic bridge, which is basically the part of the brain that it acts as a switchboard that relays like sensory and motor signals, and so they share the senses of touch and taste, and even control one another's limbs, or can control one another's limbs. Their names are Tatiana and Krista. And Tatiana sees out of both of Krista's eyes, can see out of both of Krista's eyes, and Krista can see out of one of Tatiana's eyes, and they can hear each other's thoughts, which is pretty dope.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah.
That's like, I'm like, okay.
Right?
Seeing out, that's got to be a trip.
Yeah.
I mean, it must not be, because that's how you're used to experiencing life from the beginning. But
yeah,
but it is
to try and like put myself in that space where like doing tricks and shit, be like a magician could probably not fuck with them, because they could literally be like, yo, well, okay, like they're just talking in their heads like, all right, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So like this motherfucker, he's going to try and pull that card. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but
that's specifically what they call it. They call it talking in our heads. So like they recognize that it's different enough that they like can describe it to people and be like, yeah, it's like we're having a conversation in our heads, but y'all can't hear it.
That's so wild. How do they know like when they're looking out of their own eyes versus the, like, how do you switch back and forth with the eyes?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. Yeah, there's a documentary about them. This was just a today I learned on the front page of Reddit, and I think the documentary about them came out a couple years ago. So there is a documentary you can check out, but it's it's dope, and human existence is wild. We take it for granted.
Woo! It's all we need.
And then there is a physicist and his student believe they have squared the math. So they're already, you've got the professor and the young person. So you already have the Back to the Future Doc Brown Marty vibes, but they think that they squared the math of how like you how time travel can be possible. And
my question is that even possible, or is this like some kind of coked out idea? We're like, we fucking squared the math, man. on fucking time travel. Like, that's all this was. This is all we were waiting for. What does that even mean? Like, they've sort of theoretically worked out how it could work?
Yeah. Basically, it was theoretically possible according to Einstein's theories, but nobody had ever, like, done the math to make it work. They've done the math to make it work. But then when they give a hypothetical scenario of, like, you know, philosophically how it's possible, like, it doesn't really make sense to me. But I think that's, like, the problem is that there's not, speaking of thalamic bridges, I feel like there's not a bridge between, like, people who are just next level, like, scientific mathematical thinkers and, like, the people who can, like, put those thoughts into, like, words that people can understand. Because sure. So, like, this is their description of, like, how it would be possible. They're saying, so the thought experiment they used is, if you go back in time to stop COVID-19 from happening, you have then made it so that there's not a event in the future, and so you're, like, obviating your need to go back in time in the first place. And their explanation for that paradox is, but you might catch it while you're doing it. So, like, while what? You're curing it. So you become like the first patient. It's just like a completely insufficient and like dumb explanation. So I don't know if it's them not doing a good job explaining it or the author of this article doing a bad job of like explaining it or understanding it. But I think the only version of time travel that makes sense to me is one that involves like the infinite parallel universes where it's all, I don't know, like the idea that there just has to be one reality and like that there is no free will and we're all just like inevitably going back to this timeline where COVID-19 happened seems like a pretty, like that is a Back to the Future level like misunderstanding of how the time-space continuum would actually work.
I mean, if they could make the math of this work out, I feel like they should really just work on this vaccine.
Yeah, right.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, hey, that would be helpful.
They're like, well, that's not really our space. Like, we're kind of... I was kind of the cool professor. This guy, we would just kind of hang out. He likes good music, smoke weed, play Tony Hawk, and kind of were like, hey, man, what if we could go back in time? Kind of worked on it, but I mean that, yeah, they're so, I mean, I was following them up until the point of that paradox where,
yeah, the paradox,
and it's like, sure, I get, like, I see what you're saying, and if we're looking very linearly, like, well, if then that's not there, then why do you even go back in time to prevent the thing from happening? But then what's free will, what isn't? So many more questions, all to say, I'm trying to think of what I would you go back in time, not to change anything, because we know how that goes.
Just
to peep something real quick. It could even be like 5 years ago.
I would go to peep something, sure. But like, I wouldn't go back to change anything.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Like, what would you want to see? Like, what's something you were like, ah, damn, I wish I could have saw that?
For me, it's JFK.
Oh, of course it is.
The New York airport. Just like when it was being built, like such a dope airport. No, the assassination. I just want to.
Where
see,
would you put yourself? To really observe.
That's a good question. I'd probably be like on the grassy knoll.
Just to eliminate that, just to know for sure.
Yeah, and I'd just be watching the follow up cart to watch the Secret Service agent fire off that accidental shot.
I like that you're going back in history to like solve these conspiracy theories.
Right.
And then
come
and then you're
back
like, all right,
and
Lincoln next.
Yeah. Literally like, nobody believes any.
You're like, no, I literally saw it.
I saw
like,
it,
okay.
Dude. I saw it. yeah. And I like that I'm not saving them. I'm just going back to be like, see, I told you, bro.
Yeah. You're just like trying to be like, oh, I won the bet.
Right. The only difference is now there's like some guy on the grassy knoll with a smug smile on his face. That's me. While JFK is like being brutally murdered.
Right. And then you're implicated in it. You're like, this fucking guy knew the whole fucking time. Look at this.
Not orchestrated Lincoln. It.
Yeah. And then you come back and they're like, what's up, killer guy from the JFK thing?
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. Maybe tell Lee Harvey Oswald to, you know, actually, that's probably not what I should do with my
Don't
time.
Interact, Save Jack. Lee you can Harvey only Oswald. You can only that's peep. Right. Don't do anything else. Don't shift things. You got to let it happen.
Just keep a family photo of myself because that's the only thing that matters. That's the only implication that matters is my family and
exactly.
how it affects me in particular.
Right. Because when I'm there to be at front row in Dallas when the president is assassinated, I think of, damn, I wish my kids and wife were here to see this.
That's right. Also, nobody, after anything... like any time travel back in time, you immediately affect like everybody who is every child who's conceived from that point forward, just because that's like such a minute like change of like when, I don't know.
It's right.
Anyways, time travel. That's what this that's what this podcast is about now, because everything else is so fucked up.
Yeah, the present is so gnarly. It's like, all right, well, what future power you go to? Where are you going in the past?
Let's escape. Let's escape to the past, escape to the future, escape to a skateboard in Idaho.
Yeah.
Irene, it's been so awesome having you.
Thanks
where
so
can
much
people
for having me.
Find you and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Irene_2. That's T-U. It's my last name.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way.
Boom.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I love Aparna Nancherlo's Twitter. I always think she's so funny.
Yeah.
And she tweeted something during the debate that said, this debate is unfortunately between a steamroller with no operator and a Roomba that got stuck in a corner.
She had another one of my favorite debate tweets where she was like, drink every time, all the time.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
Right. Fun drinking game. Miles, where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You find me Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. If you like 90 Day Fiance, stop by for some wicked takes from Sophia Alexandra and I. Some tweets that I like that I was able to look at. One from at Reductress. It says, remember Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' daughter? I'm her babysitter and need help finding her. So stupid. And then there's another one.
That's so dumb.
Such an aggressive turn. I love those. I love those headlines. Great. And then another one is from at MUKE10101. Quote tweeting this thing. It's like somebody tweeted like a side by side of an Italian, like a pizza that you would get, like a Neapolitan pizza in Italy, and like a pizza you'd get from like Pizza Hut. And this person tweeted is like, why does Italian pizza look so bad? It seems uneven and disproportionate, whereas American pizza is far more balanced in its design and texture. And like, yes, one is fucking handmade with much better ingredients. Right. And yes, one is shitted out of a factory for someone to just warm up in a super oven real quick. And then this person's quote tweet was, Americans are brainwashed to the most fundamental level.
Oh my
and it
God.
Really is a kind of true and just like this. You couldn't even look at a handmade, like delicious looking item and be like, oh no, it's all like spooky.
That's unbelievable. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Harrison tweeted during the debate, this is tough. I like them both.
Oh yeah, I saw that tweet too.
It's just like so Super Producer Anna Hosni had one of my favorite comments after the thing, which was like, that was great. Both of them did so well.
No problems here.
No problems at all. And Aparna's tweet was actually debate drinking game. Drink every time, all the time. I butchered it before. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, Miles.
Oh,
what
man.
Are we riding out on today?
Oh, this is a great intersection of fantastic artists, Blood Orange and Tame Impala. I'm
wow.
like, what is going? What the fuck? Blood Orange? Well, tell me more. Actually, tell me less, because I just like that. I'll say yes to anything that's Blood Orange and Tame Impala. This is the remix of Borderline by Tame Impala, by Blood Orange. And, you know, I guess that little Blood Orange take on it, the treatment is wonderful. They've slowed down Kevin Parker's vocals, so it's a little chopped and screwed-ish, and just, you know, delivers an entirely new vibe for that track. So, yeah, this is a good one. Borderline, Blood Orange remix.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.